A few years ago, in the NYTS, we learned the same book of Book Acts, and before the end, we didn't have a test. We only give the student an assignment as a home as a conclusion of the study of Book Acts. The conclusion is, after you go back home, try to bring a person to the Christ in 6 months. So I was keep on waiting and waiting. And in the time of New Year, I only received a letter from a sister from Paris. And she told me, yeah, she tried very hard and bring a true seeker to the church. And she learned a lot, she experienced a lot. And besides that sister, I did not receive any response. So I just have a feeling we learn a lot of truth, the words of God. It's a knowledge. If we can put into practice, then our life will be tremendously different. But if we only increase our knowledge, it seems it does not help too much. So I don't know, how should I conclude the book of Acts? Either give you a test, or writing an essay, or give you the same assignment, bring this person to Christ in the next 6 months. Which will you prefer? Just like God give David a choice, but that's a bad choice. 3 out of 3, you can choose one. David said, I'd rather to fall into the hand of God. But don't be afraid. Okay. If the assignment is to bring the true curse to the church, maybe before the end of the year, I can only receive one or two papers. Why not let us make some drill in paper? The topic is something related to how to promote the evangelical work in your local church. How should we get involved with the evangelical work so that the church evangelical can be more fervent? And exactly the topic the coordinator, Pastor Huang, is going to give to you. But general guideline is writing an essay regarding how should you do to promote the evangelical work in your local church, in your area, something like that. Now we are going to study the missionary trip. Page 14. In the second missionary trip, Paul chose Timothy. In the same time, in the second missionary trip, the Holy Work had a great breakthrough. The Kingdom of God was brought to Macedonia, Europe, and from the Minor Asia, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And now we are going to see chapter 16 and 17. Acts chapter 16 and 17. The central part of Acts 16, in Philippi, Paul was under persecution, 16 verse 19 to 24. When Paul was under persecution, what was the response of Paul? Verse 25. In the midnight, Paul and Silas pray and singing the hymn, and all the prisoners listened attentively. And all of a sudden, there was a great earthquake. Even the foundation was shaken, and all the doors were opened. This is the power of singing the hymns during the tribulation. And Paul was so peaceful when he was in the prison. The only one explanation is that God was really filled upon his heart, just like Stephen. Under persecution, his face was very peaceful, like a countenance of the angel. So when we are under persecution, the only one way is return to the teaching of the Bible. How should you face persecution? Pray more. If you feel weak, continue to pray. Pray until you've really been filled by the Holy Spirit. The power of God is with you. You feel that God is really with you. Then you don't fear about the persecution anymore. Many of the testimony can support the teaching of the Bible. There was a church in a mountain region in Taiwan. In 1940s, they were under great persecution. In particular church, at that time, just in the transition period between Japanese government and mainland China government, because the island was handed over to China again after Japan was defeated from the Second World War. And because there was no law strictly to govern that area, so a lot of villagers started persecuting our church. Now, every afternoon, the villagers were going to beat the drum. When they were beating the drum, the members know they are coming to the church and to persecute the members. So while they are beating the drum, all the members gather together and start to pray, singing and pray and waiting for the persecution to come, and one by one drag them out and beat them. Semi-unconscious, and they use the cold water to pour down on the person, awakened, and continue to hit the person. And this kind of persecution lasts for quite a period of time. But all the members consider it a joy. Physically it's pain, but in the heart it's very joyful, because God was really with them. Exceedingly with them, so their heart is very joyful. One night, while they were having service, the angel appeared to them, say, tomorrow the persecution is so severe that you cannot overcome it. So that evening, angel commanded them, everybody, follow. We are going to move to another village. So the whole church member, right after the service, they just proceed in the darkness, try to move to the other side of the mountain. And they're not to travel the ordinary route. So they used some kind of a bridge. And the bridge was broken and did not use for a long time. And the angel taught them how to cross the bridge, step by step, step by step. So the whole church moved to the other part of the mountain. And that one church was established, and that church very close to a city called Hualien, in the east part of Taiwan. So this really happened in our church. Under the persecution, God had a very special protection. God especially will strengthen a person, give the person peace. So persecution itself is not terrible anymore, because God is with the person. And in this persecution, the jailer thought that everybody ran away. So he tried to kill himself. So in this very desperate moment was the turning point of his life. Verse 29. Acts chapter 16, verse 29. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down and trembling before Paul and Silas. Verse 30. And he brought him out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31. So they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and you and your household. Paul only told them, you have to believe Jesus you and your whole household will be saved. Okay. verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. So they believed in Jesus and they were baptized. So this is a historical event, try to tell us. Even Paul tell them, you believe in Jesus, you and your whole family will be saved. But baptism was the next step. Follow their conversion to Christ and they receive the baptism. It's for the forgiveness of the sin. And after the whole family convert to Christ, 34, rejoice. He set food before them and he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. So the whole household become very joyful. So the most blessed family is the family, the whole family believe in Jesus Christ. And this is the most joyful family. Just like in the Sabbath day, the whole family come to church to worship God. And that will be the most blessed one, most joyful family. And later on, the official, those magistrate, try to send the official saying that those men go. And Paul was a very interesting person. And when somebody wanted to release him, ask him to go, he did not want to go. Verse 37. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned the Romans. Paul has a citizenship of a Roman, and have thrown us into prison, and now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. So Paul was very shrewd, just like a snake, very shrewd. Verse 38, and then the official told these words to the magistrate, and they were afraid when they heard they were Romans. And they too came out of the prison and continued their missionary journey. Okay. Chapter 17 was a very famous preaching. In chapter 17, especially in verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those who in Thessalonica, in that they received the words with all readiness and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. And so, not a few of the Greek prominent women as well as men. Now we try to sum up in the book of Acts. When the Bible mentioned the members was added to them, there are how many different reasons? Acts chapter 2, talking about they lived like a family, right? Like they live a life of love, like a big family. So God add the number to them daily. Acts chapter 6, talking about after they separate administration work from the evangelical work. So everybody have their work to do, and apostles can concentrate their mind in prayer and preaching. So God added that number daily. And later on, the gospel preached to Antioch because of the personal evangelism. So God added the number to them daily, personal evangelism. The most effective way so far we have proof is personal evangelism, to bring the friend to the Christ by personal contact, one by one, from the school, from your workplace, and from your neighborhood, or from any some kind of social activity. Personal evangelism, that's the most effective way. Is there any other way? The members increased. The members increased according to the work of mighty miracles. after the mighty miracle happened, a lot of people came to the Christ. And the members increased because they searched the scripture daily. According here. And Acts chapter 15, the members increased after they had a meeting to resolve the difficult issue, different understanding about whether the Gentile had to receive circumcision. And after they send the message to everywhere, and they observe the decision of the meeting, and the church become prosperous. So there are many, many different reasons that the members been added to the church. So it's the same token. Today, if we want to increase the membership, we have to work very hard from different reasons. Pray hard. Everybody do the personal evangelism. We have to build a church like a family. We have to distribute the work evenly to everybody according to their gift. We have to search the words of God daily. All different kind of reasons can attract different people, and the membership can increase. This is chapter 17. And in chapter 17, Paul delivered a sermon in Athens. At that time, Athens was a center of academic study, emphasized very much on academic study, Athens. Especially, Paul delivered sermon in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus, and he started to deliver a sermon. Even though Athens, the people in Athens, was very talented and received different kind of philosophical education. So you see in the city of Athens, they have two kind of philosophers. Philosophy circulated among the people there. Verse 18. Then certain Epicurean and the Stoic philosopher encounter him. The Epicurean emphasize on the greatest goodness in the world is to be happy. So in order to be happy, you can do whatever you want. So later on, this kind of thinking lead them into indulgence in the fulfillment of their desire. Sensual desire. This is called Epicurean. And Stoic philosopher emphasize on personal cultivation. So eventually they withdraw themselves from the world and only emphasize on they themselves without paying too much attention to the outside world. So there are two kinds of philosophers try to influence the people in that generation. But even though they are very well developed in their thinking, in their mind. But the whole city still worship the idol. Verse 16. Now, while Paul was waiting with them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when they saw that the city was given over to idol. The whole city was filled with idols. How come a person, the ration is so much developed and still worship the idol? What is the answer? The answer is worshiping the idol is a work of the Satan. So this kind of work of Satan will deceive a person. Even you are very well educated, you still will be deceived and start and worship the idol. So Paul was very much provoked. Why? Because worshiping the wrong God is worse than worshiping no God. You know, worshiping the wrong God is against the true God. It's worse than worshiping no God. And worshiping the wrong God, actually worshiping Satan. So the spirit of Paul was provoked. And verse 22 onwards to verse 31. Paul delivered a very good sermon, fit into the need of the people there. Paul did not blankly point out they are wrong. Oh, you worship idol, you are wrong. If Paul preached in that kind of message, very confrontational style, and right after the Paul's preaching, maybe the great persecution will arise. Also, Paul's preaching was very shrewd. Verse 22. And Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." This is a fact. They are very religious. Their intention originally was good. Very religious. "For as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." So, start from here. Paul started to introduce the living God, the only one true God to them, without offend the audience there, without offend the people who always worship the idol. So this is provide us as some kind of a reference. When we talk with the people who worship the idol, in the first encounter, we should not just blankly tell them, "You worship the idol, you worship Satan." If you do in this way, all of a sudden the person will start to become defensive and build up a wall. And you can never cross over to the other side. Even the person they worship idol, in their intention, most of them in their intention, they are good because they want to worship God. But out of the ignorance, they worship the idol, they worship the Satan. So Paul's preaching is a very good reference for us to learn. When we deal with the truth seeker, do not use a confrontational style. You cannot win any soul. Our goal actually is the same. We try to bring them to the Christ. So Paul's preaching, it serves as our reference. And when he preached in chapter 18, verse 24 until verse 31, if you have time, you can analyze carefully about this paragraph. The God worshipped by Paul. And if you analyze carefully, you can find out that there is a very concrete note for a sermon. If you try to prepare the sermon note, and that you analyze, there are many good points. Can be a sermon note. The God we worship. Chapter 18. Paul came to Corinth, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jews named Aquila and born in Pontius. Let me ask you another question, not tightly related to the question. How many people did Paul baptize in his whole ministry? How many people did Paul baptize? One? Let us see, 1 Corinthians. In order to avoid being idolized by those who are not very strong spiritually, so Paul tried purposely not doing anything which will cause people to worship him as God, idolize him. And baptism is one of them. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 12. And now I say this, Each of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollo, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Caius. Verse 15, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Verse 16, yes, I also baptized the household of the Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I have baptized any others. So he only baptized only very few Christians. So he tried to avoid not being worshipped as an idol. The same thing, if you have opportunity to go to Africa, you can find out. Some of the members, they try to identify themselves. I was baptized by who? I was baptized by who? Really, it happened exactly the same thing. When we become more mature, you will find out to baptize by whom, it doesn't matter. What really matters is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That really matters. Okay. Now come back to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 mentioned a couple who were the co-worker of Paul. Paul was a very great worker of God, but if you see his ministry, there were many workers worked together with him. And these workers are not very famous, but very important to support Paul's ministry. So today is the same. It's the same. In the church, there are a lot of members work quietly and for the church. And their work, the same value as the work of the ordained ministers. And one of the couple mentioned in here is Priscilla and Aquila. Who was the husband? Priscilla or Aquila? Priscilla or Aquila? Aquila, right? And how come all the times the Priscilla's name were put in the verse? Why? Very possibly, the wife are more spiritual than the husband. So that's the reason that they put the name of the wife ahead of the husband. And this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, had many, many good points according to the Bible. Can you find out how many good points? First, you can see many, many good points. This is a sermon topic, Priscilla and Aquila. First, their marriage is to enhance their service to God. This is the first point. If we don't marry the same faith, the people in the same faith, you cannot serve God very diligently or wholeheartedly. For example, today is a Sunday. If your wife or your husband is not a member, no way you can be here, right? Because this is a holiday. Your spouse will go, let's go to outside exercise. And let's go for a shopping. So Aquila and Priscilla, they can serve God very effectively because of their marriage. They marry in the same faith. There's also marriage enhance their service to God. This is the first point we can learn. The second point we can learn is their work. Their work as a means to support the life. Work is not the purpose of the life. So they were tent makers, but in the Sabbath day, and then they went to the synagogue together with Paul and start to preach the gospel there. So today, do you consider your work as the purpose of your life? we live to work, or we work in order to live, which is the right way. You live to work, or you work in order to live. Second one, right? You work, so you have money to support your daily needs, then so you support your deed, your life. Then what is the purpose of life? Life is to serve God. So this couple, they're very mature to control their lifestyle. Their life will not be overwhelmed by work. They know the purpose of work is to support the life, and the purpose of life is to serve God. This is the second point. The third point is, this couple love Paul very much. So they are even willing to sacrifice for Paul. So when Paul was in the last stage of his life, he missed this couple very much. In the book of Romans, when he was in Roman, he wrote a letter, he even greeted this couple, because this couple really loved him. Co-workers really love each other, and not attacking each other, not jealous to each other. That's a good point. Another good point is they are well-versed about the Bible. How do you know? Verse 24. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollo, born at Alexander, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. Then the man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and been fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately at the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John the Baptist. And then, 26, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of the Lord more accurately. You see, Aquila and Priscilla was sitting there and listened to the preaching of Apollo. Apollo was very eloquent. When he preached, nobody sleep. Very eloquent, and well-versed about Bible. And then Aquila and Priscilla sitting there and listen, very good, but still something missing. So after the preaching service finished, and this couple invite Apollo to a particular location and explain even more profoundly about the Lord Jesus Christ. How could they do that? There's only one answer. Because they really understand the teaching of the Bible. So today the minister try to learn together with you here. I hope that one day, when I finish my preaching, some brother say, "Preacher Liang, come, I tell you, which point you teach is wrong. And tell me more. I will be appreciated very much. But I've been waiting for so long. I hope one day in NYTS, you can have your own different view. Of course, the different view should be the right view from the Bible. You can give the speaker even more knowledge so that the speaker can edify the congregation more. But in order to reach that kind of degree, you need to be extra hard, study the Bible extra hard, pray extra hard, so you can receive the inspiration or revelation from God directly, and you understand Bible deeper. And then when you listen, you can judge, oh, this is right and this is not right. And more important point was missing in this sermon. And you can act like an apostle, Priscilla and Aquila. This is 18, this couple. And at the end of 18, talking about Apollo. Apollo was full with wisdom, eloquent in speech, instructed in the way of the Lord, and fervent in spirit, humble, accept other people's guidance. Even though he was very eloquent, but when the couple tried to give them more advice, then did Apollo accept humbly. So this should be the spirit of the worker of God. He was waiting to help others. And chapter 19, Ephesians. If you quote the book of Ephesians chapter, chapter 1, let's see Ephesians chapter 1, right? Some of our church members quote Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Say the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of your inheritance. So after we believe in Jesus Christ, we have to receive the Holy Spirit. Try to encourage the Christian from other denomination to pray for Holy Spirit. And one of the Christians from the other church, they are very familiar with the Bible, they say, I 100% agree with you. You look into the previous verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. After you listen the truth and the gospel of salvation, and you believe in Jesus, then you receive the promise already. Have you seen it? So all of a sudden, our members just shut their mouth. Yeah, the Bible says, after you believe in Jesus, you receive Holy Spirit. No need to pray. Right? How do you explain that? This is the letter to Ephesians. Then you have to quote the incident happening in Acts chapter 19. When Paul first time went to Ephesians, they asked them the first question, did you receive Holy Spirit when you believe? The answer is no. And later on, Paul questioned about their baptism, only for the repentant, the baptism of John the Baptist. And Paul baptized them once again for the remission of the sins and pray for them and receive the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, they omit the process of praying for Holy Spirit. Actually, they did not receive Holy Spirit originally, and they don't pray for Holy Spirit. So this Acts chapter 19, this is the third missionary trip. And the rest of the book, you can study by yourself. Time is up. Let's pray in silence.